Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Regenerate. My name is Rob Sturdy. I'm the Anglican chaplain to the Corps of Cadets. Really sorry I can't be with you guys this evening, but I'm going to be with you first thing in the morning for our morning session. Looking forward to getting to know you guys, spending some time with you, and just spending the weekend focusing on Jesus. We've been praying for you, me and my family, and we're looking forward to joining you tomorrow. I am sure that all of you guys have heard about C.S. Lewis. If you haven't, then you would have heard about his famous children's story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. The longer series in the Chronicles of Narnia. He's an Englishman. When he was your age, he was an atheist. He went to Oxford University. He fought in a war somewhere along the way through friendship with a man named J.R.R. Tolkien, who, by the way, wrote The Lord of the Rings. He became a Christian. The very first book C.S. Lewis wrote was a little book called The Pilgrim's Regress, and he actually hated it. But there's a lot of things that I appreciate about it. The book begins with a boy named John. And he's traveling on a road, and he looks across the road, and he sees this wood full of wild flowers. And what happens in John, the moment he sees the wood, is he is filled with this intense longing to cross the road and go into the wood. Now, Lewis said a few years later he was trying to capture something in that moment that was really foundational to his childhood. An experience that dominated the whole thing. What was the experience? Well, he said that this experience, foundational to his childhood and to him becoming a Christian, by the way, was this experience of intense longing and almost like a heartache. How did he describe it? Well, he said that this longing and this heartache was different than all other aches and pains in at least two ways. The first way, it's different from other aches in that the ache actually feels good. So think about this with me for a second. If you bump your knee, it hurts. You don't want it to happen again. If you try out for a sports team and you don't make the cut, that hurts. You don't want it to happen again. When a friend gossips about you, it hurts and you hope it never happens again. It's a kind of hurt that you want to avoid. But there's a different kind of hurt, and you all know what I'm talking about. There's a different kind of hurt that feels good. So I want you to think about you're listening to a song, and the song makes you really sad. The song hits you in the gut. And by the end of listening to that song, you want to cry out, or you feel tears in your eyes. And as soon as the song's over, you say, I could listen to that song again. That was a great song. Now, if that's ever happened to you, you know what Lewis is talking about when he says there's this aching and this longing. There's a sadness that feels good, and you want to feel it again. That's the first way that it's different. Here's the second way that it's different. Lewis said about this ache, he said that it drives you and propels you to satisfy the longing and that aching. So the boy in Lewis's story, he sees the wood, and he wants to cross the road and go into the wood to satisfy that longing. And I bet you've all had this experience. I bet you've all had a creek that you had to explore, or a river that you had to cross, a wood that you had to go into, a toy that you needed to have, and then you had it, but the ache was still there. And as you get older, these longings and this aching, it gets more sophisticated. And so as you get older, there's a boy you had to kiss. There was a girl that you had to impress. It was a trophy that you had to win. An older person's approval that you had to have. A school that you had to get into. Now here's what Lewis is saying. You have this ache that drives you to do things. But once you do them, the ache is still there. And so here's what Lewis is saying. He says, look, I crossed the creek. I kissed the girl, I won the trophy, I got into the school, but the ache is still there. And that's why he said this ache is different from all other aches. When I'm hungry for food and I eat the food, then I realize that hunger was about the food. If I'm very tired and I go to sleep, I've satisfied that longing to get some rest. But this is a different kind of longing because it drives us to be satisfied in all kinds of things. We get those things and it still hurts. It's different. It's a mysterious kind of aching, and it means we don't actually know what we want. What's the source of this great ache? What's the source of this great longing? Now, why do I bring this up? Well, I bring it up for two reasons. Here's reason number one. The first reason is that this aching and this longing is vital for how people come into relationship with God. Lewis said it was this longing that caused him ultimately to become a Christian. And when you read the Bible, and now you know that this aching and this longing is a longing for God, you see it everywhere in the Bible. In the Old and New Testaments, what's the psalmist say? Well, he says, as the deer pants for the water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. That's Psalm 42, verse 1. Does he believe in God? Of course he believes in God, but there's something deeper than just believing in God going on in the man who wrote that psalm. He doesn't just believe in God, but he longs for Him. He's aching. He's aching for Him. That's the first reason that I bring this up. Well, here's the second reason. This aching and this longing is vital for your life and faith. And I worry for you in regards to this longing. And I worry in regards to this aching. And here's why. You, I think, more so than any other generation, you are going to be under tremendous pressure to suppress this longing and this aching. And why do I say that? Well, your generation, more so than any other generation, is under tremendous pressure to be happy. When you post on social media, you're expected to post a picture of your smiling face celebrating some success or some achievement, some great vacation, some wonderful new girlfriend, some handsome new boyfriend. And when you show up to school or to church, people are going to expect you to be smiling. When people ask you how you're doing, they're going to expect you to say, I'm doing great, you know, hashtag blessed, everything's amazing, God is awesome. When you come home to your family and they want to know what you've been up to today, what they really want to know is that you are well-adjusted, you're making progress in school, you have fulfilling friendships, and you're on track for a prosperous, notable future that will impress the people around you. Let me be very clear on this. I want you to be happy. I want you to be successful. I want you to have friends. I want you to enjoy achievements and celebrate those achievements with the people who love you the most. These are things I want for you. At the same time, I worry what this enormous pressure that the culture in general, but your family and even the church puts on you to be well-adjusted, happy young people. And why would I worry about that? Well, I worry about it because when that longing strikes, and we all have it, okay? When that longing strikes, when you feel that heartache that C.S. Lewis was talking about, and it becomes persistent, in a world where everyone expects you to be happy and pain-free, you're going to think something's gone wrong. And you go to your pastor and you'll say, you know, it hurts right here. This is where it hurts. And he'll frown and he'll promise to pray for you. You go home, your parents will pick up on it, that it hurts right here. And they'll think, you know, we sent her to such and such school and she got on the volleyball team and she's making good grades. Something seems off. What's wrong with her? Your friends might even share the ache. And they'll assume something's gone wrong too, but because they're young and they're foolish, like, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, it's true, like you are young and foolish. They'll celebrate that brokenness and they'll obsess over it and they'll purposefully drown in it. Here's what I want you to know about the ache. When it hits, right? It doesn't mean something's gone wrong. It means something's gone right. It means that you are, as that aching is rising up, it means that you're coming to grips with the fact that you might have a wonderful family. You might be making decent or exceptional grades. You might have close friends. You might be headed to a good school, but it still hurts. Why does it still hurt? Why does that mean something's going right? Well, Because you're coming to realize that all of these things that people said you have to have a rich and rewarding life, are never going to be enough for you. Therefore, that longing and that aching is pointing you to something other than these things. This is how C.S. Lewis put it in his own words. He said, most people, if they'd really learned to look into their own hearts, would know what they want and want acutely. Now listen to this. What they really want is something that cannot be had in this world. There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give it to you, but they never quite keep their promise. The longings which arise in us when we first fall in love, or first think of some foreign country, or first take up some subject that excites us, are longings which no marriage or travel or learning can really satisfy. This is what he went on to say. The Christian says creatures are not born with desire unless satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger. Well, there's such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there's such a thing as water. Men feel sexual desire. Well, there's such a thing as sex. If I find myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. So how do you think this is going to make you feel when the ache strikes and you've done all the things? You crossed the creek, you went into the wood, you got the trophy, you kissed the girl, you went into the college, you got out of college, you got the magnificent job, you moved into the great zip code, and it still hurts. And you begin to share this conclusion that Lewis has. It still hurts because I wasn't made for any of these things. I was made for something else. How do you think you're going to feel in a world that's attempting to lay lasting foundations of satisfaction and happiness right here? In their achievements and in their success and in their prosperity and in their beauty, but you've decided such a foundation will not sustain the weight of the happiness you need to be satisfied. How do you think you're going to feel when your unsatisfied longings and heartaches lead you to the same conclusion that Lewis was led to? There is a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy. I'm hungry for something else. I must be made for another world. Well, listen, the moment you reach that conclusion, and I don't think, I'm not guessing all of you have reached that conclusion yet. But some of you are getting there, some of you are there. The moment you reach that conclusion, you're going to feel out of place in a world where people assume this is all there is. You're going to feel out of step with a world that's marching towards achievement after achievement after achievement after achievement, and you're marching in the other direction saying, that's not going to do it for me. You're going to feel strange. And this is exactly how the New Testament says you're supposed to feel. Peter wrote a letter to his Christian brothers and sisters, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, and he described them like this. He said, you guys are strangers and you're exiles. That language of stranger and exile, it's borrowed language from the political world, and it's borrowed from a political world gone wrong. If you're a stranger and you're an exile, it means you've been expelled from your homeland because the government has decided that you don't belong anymore, so they kick you out. In the Bible, this happened to the nation of Israel, where because of their sin, because they broke covenant with God, God exiled them from their homeland and sent them off to Babylon. And Peter doesn't call us strangers and exiles because God is punishing us. We have not been kicked out of anywhere because of our sin. Christ dies on the cross and he atones for our sins. So why is he calling us strangers and exiles? Well, you might have heard of John Calvin. He is the French reformer, Protestant theologian. And this is what he said. Peter calls them strangers and exiles, not because they're banished from their country and scattered into various lands, but because the children of God wherever they may be, are just guests in this world. Christians are people who've come to understand that they're just guests. They don't belong here. They're made for somewhere else. This isn't home. So that aching and that longing will never be satisfied here. So Christians are on a journey. Just like the young man in Lewis's story was propelled across the road to go into the wood, you and I are propelled up and out of the life we're living right now in pursuit of God. That's what motivates Abraham to get up and leave everything and go into a land that God would show him. It's what moved an entire nation of Jewish slaves in Egypt to abandon the security, even the wicked security of slavery, even wicked security. They have homes in Egypt. They have food in Egypt. But they got up and they went into the wilderness. Why? Well, they have a longing. It's what prompts fishermen to make an extremely rash decision to abandon their family business and their boats, immense expense and wealth, to follow a guy named Jesus that they'd known maybe for 30 minutes. This longing moves people out of what they're doing now into some kind of new adventure. These all died in the faith. This is what the author of the Hebrews wrote. These all died in the faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged they were strangers and exiles on earth. And then he goes on to say, and I really want you to listen to this. He went on to say, people who speak like this make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. They desire a better country, a heavenly one. Achievements are great. Success is great. Friendship is great. Falling in love is amazing. But in all these things, I have this longing. There's something better. I know there's something better. You and I are meant to ache and we're meant to long. Our greatest achievements are meant to and will always feel emptier than we hoped they would. Because you and I were not made for this world. You were meant to desire a better country, and that will make you feel strange here in this country. It'll make you feel like an exile in this life. It will make you feel like a refugee in a world where people are saying, this is the better country. We're going to spend the rest of the weekend talking about these things. We're going to be talking about how Christians can believe in Jesus and not seek a better country. Christians can believe in Jesus and found a homeland here in Jesus' name. We're going to be talking a little bit about that. We're going to be spending some time talking about the hardship of seeking a better country and the challenges that we might face in doing so. We're going to spend some time talking about how we become citizens of that better country. We'll be with Christ in that better country one day, that lifelong ache, that lifelong satisfaction. It'll finally be met. We're going to talk about how it's met. But tonight, I just want to close with two things that I want you to think about as you're in your groups this evening, as you go to sleep. Two questions. One question for you Christians, and by Christians I mean people who have put their faith in Jesus. You believe He's the Son of God, He died on the cross, and He's risen from the dead, and you believe you can have salvation in His name. If that's you, I'm talking to you. If you were to ask your non-Christian friends, what do you think it is I want? When you look at my life, what am I working towards? What am I striving for? What makes me sweat? I want you to think real hard about what you think they'd say. And here's what I really want you to think about. Would my friends say what I want, what I'm working for, what I'm sweating over, what I'm anxious about, what keeps me up at night? Would my friends say, you want and work for and sweat and are anxious over the exact same things we work for, want, and sweat over? And if that's the case, I want you to think real long and hard just how true it is to say of you, I seek a better country. I'm not trying to make a home here. I seek a better country. Because this is the hard thing. You can believe something different than your non-Christian friends. But if you both want the same thing, if you're both seeking satisfaction in the same thing, the only difference between you and them is a paper difference, not a real one. Here's the second thing I want you to think about. For you seekers, for you explorers, I want to know if anything resonated with you this evening. Have you experienced that kind of longing, that lack of satisfaction in things that other people told you? If you got them, you'd feel good. Did you get it and feel empty? Or did you get it and it just didn't quite do what you hoped it would do for you? If that's the case, then maybe the people who said you could be satisfied here were wrong. And maybe folks like C.S. Lewis were right. Maybe you were made for a better country. Maybe that longing is pointing to you towards something out of this world, which you could only be satisfied in. And if that's true, I think you should take seriously the notion that perhaps you've been given this weekend as a gift by God for you to be introduced to this thing, but more specifically, this person that you were actually made for. I look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow, and we'll continue the conversation. But for now, please pray with me. Father, I give you thanks for these young men and these young women and the time you've given them to think about this longing. Pray for those of us who have come to believe in Jesus that we would learn more to put our hearts in tune with the longing that's only satisfied in Jesus Christ. And I pray for the seekers and the explorers here this evening that you would give them space and grace to ask the hard questions they need to ask and to feel safe enough to explore these ideas in their groups. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.